6:30. So I will now call this public hearing of the Clyde City Council to order this day, May 19th, 2026, 6:30 p.m. Roll call, please.
Cody Browning.
Here.
Doug McCauley.
Here.
Greg McMaster.
Here.
Carrie Meek.
Here.
Chris Shea.
Here.
All right. This evening's public hearing topic is a discussion of a proposed DORA for the city of Clyde, which is a designated outdoor refreshment area. In a few moments, I'll refer this then to City Manager Justin LeBin. Notice there are some different faces in the audience here tonight. If you wish to speak, which I hope that you will, all right, what I'd ask you to do is just indicate that you wish to speak. I will have you come up to the podium, state your name, your business, your topic, then, and what I ask that we not talk over one another. Be respectful and give each other an opportunity to present their views. So, Mr. LeBin.
All right, you all received the application last week or 2 weeks ago. Been a while in the works. We've heard from a lot of different people about doing it. You've seen two additional businesses downtown file for permits for alcohol as well. Lots of people putting on markets that have asked about it. Our different businesses, especially for, you know, special one-time only Class F permits for different types of food trucks and mobile things that would be able to serve downtown area. So we drew up the parameters as best as possible to avoid most residential areas, keep it as many businesses and still downtown as much as possible, carving off this side of the municipal building as well. Obviously, with some of our future plans, we've talked about downtown and different things and event programming and museum on the lawn over at the or concerts on the lawn at the museum have been discussed having this kind of option. So we put the application together, and here we are.
Again, the purpose of this is to allow input. I mean, we welcome it. We encourage it. Your thoughts, your views, whether they be a pros or cons. So, yes, please.
My name is Jonathan Wall. I'm the owner of the alley, which would benefit, I think, tremendously from Adora. It would give our patrons the opportunity, Clyde Fair, farmers market, other things like that, just to grab a cocktail, a beer, walk around, enjoy their beverage while they're just hanging out downtown. And I think it would bring people more down, bring more people downtown to kind of appreciate the businesses that we have that are available to everybody else. So, but everything would be a great option. I've talked with Justin. I've talked with a couple of the council members as well over the years. And I'm definitely in favor of this for my business and for our community as well.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Bobby Boyer, and so it's nice to see new faces up there. It's been a while since I've been in these chambers. A little about my reasons for being here tonight include I've lived in Clyde most of my life. I've served on city council and served during the first time the DORA was brought up as an option for our community. I strongly urge Doug to run for city council, and so I'm glad he did. And more importantly, I'm a national expert with many areas, including alcohol, drug, gangs, crime, suicide, and problem gambling prevention, along with economic and small business development. It's my prevention expertise that I feel responsible to bring here this evening. To begin, I'd like to share a brief story that I'm hoping will help you understand the perspective that I bring here tonight. Imagine a large river with a high waterfall. At the bottom of this waterfall, hundreds of people are working frantically, trying to save those who have fallen into the river and have fallen down the waterfall, many of them drowning. As the people along the shore are trying to rescue as many as possible, one individual looks up and sees a seemingly never-ending stream of people falling down the waterfall and begins to run upstream. One of the other rescuers hollers, "Where are you going? There's so many people that need help here." To which the man replied, "I'm going upstream to find out why so many people are falling into the river." As you look further upstream, you notice bridges in various states of repair along the river. Some are strong, made of sturdy components. Others are weak and debilitated, with missing boards or flimsy railings. It doesn't surprise you that most of the people falling in the river are crossing the poorly made bridges, and those individuals that live near or travel across the strong bridges are protected. Of course, all the bridges could use more reinforcement, but it's easy to see which bridges need the most attention. In the stream parable, we know that certain groups of people are more likely to fall in the river than others. They do not fall in because of individual weakness or intrinsic flaws. Rather, we know that some people are privileged to live in communities with strong bridges, usually made of high-quality materials that protect them from falling in the river and promote their safe passage across. I believe we need to build those strong bridges in our community to protect our children and families. Sometimes it may feel like living in a small town is protection enough. Even in our community, we have to plan to keep our roads and bridges safe. We have to dedicate a budget for that. In addition, the rapid changes in the world around us and the instantaneous impact of social media show us that we cannot depend on our past history to protect us today. As leaders and caretakers for our community, it is our responsibility to ensure that we have in place the factors that make a healthy, vibrant community. We need to think upstream. That means what we're doing in the smallest of decisions to build norms and cultures that silently guide choices and expectations for our future generations. We need to prioritize what is most important to the entire community and think about the long-term impacts of our decisions today. The elevation of destructive norms begin disrepair in the bridges of our community. I personally am not opposed to the concept of DORA. I have lived and worked in communities across the state that have them in place. However, in a small community like Clyde, the norms that are put in place with a DORA, in my opinion, would be detrimental to many. In large cities, there's room for a DORA to be in place, and those that do not want to be there in that location have many other options for places to go. In Clyde, the downtown area is all we have, and to allow a DORA there sends a clear message to youth, families, and our elders that I'm not sure is a good one. One of the risk factors we work on when preventing underage drinking is the perception of harm. When youth see someone walking around with a beer in hand, they do not think about how many beers that person have drank. They just know some of them may come from families with alcoholism. They will think that anyone with a drink in their hand is like the ones they see every day. That's why when I trained school personnel years ago here in Clyde, we had a standard that staff embraced to not drink in environments where youth could run into them. The Army also has a standard for that, that military members are not allowed to wear their uniform in places where there's drinking establishments. When thinking about the goal of the DORA to increase revenue from more patrons coming to Clyde, really, do you think that people will come to Clyde because they have a DORA? There's other communities that are destination locations. Our restaurant that we had here in Clyde became a destination for people over 50 miles from here. Due to lack of support from our city and also the economic development pieces, we were forced to shut down our restaurant, but we were asked by several surrounding communities why we were not being helped by our own local community. Adding a DORA to our downtown will not add long-term impacts, believe me. Well, I'm back at home and available if anyone would like to have a longer conversation. The Sandusky County Prevention Partnership is also a good resource. I started that organization over 30 years ago, and it's still going strong and has won many awards for its work and leadership. Since I left several years ago to join my husband in D.C., I won another national award for my work in national leadership. I'm happy to support my hometown if and when you ask for input. Thank you for listening tonight.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Josh? Well, I'll ask any council if you have any comments for this evening, although there's no pending vote or legislation for this, but comments. Mrs. Meek?
I have none. I obviously work for Fremont. We have a DORA there. I spend a lot of time in Findlay, Ohio, that also has a DORA. It has not caused any commotions. As a matter of fact, you don't even see it that often around there. But in Findlay, part of my association, we did utilize their DORA by having our people who came to our seminar use the DORA to bounce from store to store, location to location, to where they could really explore Findlay and Findlay could really sell their city. I thought that was a great thing. By all means, we're an association of public treasurers, so we're not rowdy bunch of people or anything, but our colleagues really, really enjoyed that. I'm not opposed to Adora.
Mr. Browning, I understand and respect the concerns of the community for Adora and, you know, regarding alcohol and public behavior in general. I used to work for local government in Chinooski. They had Adora as well. There were no real issues or concerns there with it. I mean, I will say that not with alcohol and, you know, with the rowdiness, but trash, there was a small issue with trash in the cups, you know, being able to dispose of certain areas. But other than that, I'm not necessarily for or opposed to an Adora.
Thank you. Mr. McMaster.
I have nothing to add, but thank you for those that shared their opinion.
Mr. Shea.
I'm in favor of Clyde having Adora. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. My wife and I do a significant amount of travel, and one of our destinations are small towns so that we can sort of compare. I'm not a big city person. I don't fit into that. But I knew this topic would come up at some point, and I've been on – this is my fifth year on council, so doing the groundwork and the homework and just trying to find out what is out there. I have yet to witness any negativity associated with Adora, whether small town or large town like or city like Findlay to Perrysburg. Behavior has been very, very respectful. It's well managed. And that is a concern I have, is the management of it. My first experience with Adora was several years ago when one was rolled out in Tiffin. My wife and I are walking out of the Empire restaurant. We hear all this commotion, and there are people standing on a picnic table raising their glasses. That's day one. I think they got that under control. Okay? So that was just my first visual of it, and haven't seen anything like that since. So other than that, I'll save comments, anything for the future. Okay. Anything else, Mr. LeBan?
I should note, I mean, even when Tiffin rolled theirs out, this is a little history notes of, I'm going to probably butcher her name, but Dawn Ainatanu at the time was vehemently opposed to their door in Tiffin during that time. And after a year of its implementation, she came back after speaking to the business owners, and those kinks had been worked out. Two colleges in town, so obviously when it's new, it's fresh. And she had said, you know, this is different than I expected, and none of my real fears had come true. And I know Fremont's had one. We're one of the probably last remaining communities without one, so to speak, given the size and our ability to actually have one. I spent time in Oak Harbor last week. Just they've had one for a year now, so villages are implementing them. Again, it's they almost forget, people even forget that they have it. So, again, I'm not really a big drinker myself, so it's not the biggest thing for me, but the desire of all the people that keep asking us about this and when we're going to have one for the economics of it. It's a very low-cost economic tool to roll out. Again, we have never seen any problems in Fremont, Findlay, Oak Harbor, I mean, just anywhere. So you hope that you find more responsible drinking when it's going around. It's a 16-ounce cup that has to be taken out and goes, you know, so there's no ability to just refill on the, you know, some stats have said it's somewhat reduced or lessened drinking where you're not actually trapped inside in a windowless place where you end up drinking more. That may or not be good or bad for your businesses. I don't know. But depends on your model. So, but, you know, it's, I think after the novelty of it going, it's probably, you know, people forget we even have it and it's used very infrequently and more targeted for events and things like that and benefits to the business. So, again, with a five-year window, these things have a forced reevaluation period of 5 years, too. So if it's absolutely terrible, it does have a way out as well.
Just keep in mind that should this be approved, it is a choice of participation. It is not a mandated behavior. So anything else?
I'll comment briefly. I like to comment sometimes just for our listening audience at home. This does not get rid of any open container laws. You will not be able to be up there at 8 a.m. chugging a bottle of whiskey. You have to buy it at the businesses. You can only do it during set hours, and it does not apply to the entire city of Clyde. It applies to a specific area that we have to mark off if we pass this. So a lot of the fears about this being up a community park I've seen, or fears about people, just sitting downtown and setting up with a cooler and drinking all day, it's limited. The hours are basically limited in two ways. They're limited by the hours that this council would set, but they're also limited by the hours in which the businesses are open, because it has to be purchased at those businesses. So I want people to keep that in mind, too. I don't foresee the morning drinking issues coming up, because they don't occur in other towns. So just so everyone knows at home.
One additional thing that I didn't bring up. There are two private residents within this boundary. One I have spoken to, there's not an issue. The other one I have not, and I don't know if we need to be a little more sensitive to a private residence inside of that boundary or not, but I will speak with the second one and see what their thoughts are. Anything else for the good of the order? All right. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
We don't need a roll call.